What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
And I'm joined by Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, with a new YouTube podcast available to everyone right now, entitled Understanding Iran's Influence Operations in Latin America. Iran, the same Iran that is said to be the driver for the Middle East war, said to use its surrogates, the Hezbollah in Beirut, the Houthis in Yemen, the Shia militia in Iraq and Syria attacking American deployment, and the gangs of the West Bank, certainly Hamas, also the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. All those bad actors are fed by and directed by Iran. Iran is already in the Americas, and we begin with a capital that's new to me, to Iran's influence, La Paz of Bolivia. Joseph, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. La Paz is Bolivia's landlocked. It's troubled. It is also right now in a election cycle, 2 years out, where we're told the man named Morales, Evo Morales, is going to re-enter politics. What is in La Paz for Iran? How does it work, the influence there? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I've called Bolivia Iran's most successful foreign policy project outside of the Middle East, even more successful than Venezuela in some regard. And I'll explain that. Because in Venezuela, Iran always had a network. You can even go beyond the Iranian Revolution in 1979. Iran and Venezuela established relationships during the founding of OPEC as being two oil-producing nations. And so when Iran, and I'm referring specifically to the Iranian Revolution, Islamic Republic, when they engaged Venezuela, they engaged Venezuela even prior to Hugo Chavez. But in the case of Bolivia, that's really a 21st century phenomenon, because prior to 2006, prior to Evo Morales becoming the then president of Bolivia, Iran had nothing in La Paz. They didn't have a presence. They didn't have an embassy. I don't even think they had a consulate or any kind of formal relations. From 2007, when they signed their first strategic agreement with Bolivia, to today, now becoming probably one of its biggest embassies in terms of personnel in all of Latin America, to having signed just recently a defense agreement. Iran has very few defense agreements with Latin American countries. It has one with Venezuela. It's on the verge of having one with Cuba, but it also now has one with Bolivia. And it's prepping Bolivia to now receive those infamous drones, those drones that they sent to Russia for Ukraine, the ones they sent to Venezuela. They're going to start sending them to Bolivia. And according to the Bolivian defense minister, this is literally what he said, they're going to use them to protect, quote unquote, their borders. And so I think that's a concern for all the bordering nations of Bolivia, most notably probably Argentina and Chile. And so that's kind of, I think, this kind of misnomer where we've had a lot of people really didn't understand this Iran-Bolivia relationship. But Iran had used Bolivia as a target of opportunity. It's in the central of South America. It's kind of, some people call it the heart of South America. It borders, I think, seven or eight nations. It has a huge border with Brazil, has a huge border with Peru and Chile. It's the regime in Bolivia, the MAS regime, that extends from Evo Morales to Luis Arce, the current president, is heavily embedded and involved with narco trafficking. Get this, John. It's the only one of the authoritarian countries in Latin America that has an active nuclear program. When Hugo Chavez became the leader of this Bolivarian revolution, the Bolivarian network, what they call the ALBA, all the ALBA countries, which is Nicaragua, Bolivia, Cuba, Venezuela, all of them created nuclear programs. None of those nuclear programs had any financing. None of those nuclear programs had any technology. And they didn't advance anywhere, including the Venezuelan one. The only nuclear program that exists till today that actually advanced is the one in Bolivia. It was conceived by Iran. It was financed by Russia, by Rosatom, and was provided engineers from China. So literally, it's an authoritarian project in Bolivia. Their first nuclear reactor is supposed to be online in 2025. So, you know, the list goes on. But Bolivia has been kind of the hidden secret for Iran for many years. And I've been, you know, very adamant about bringing that to attention of policymakers and other folks that need to know.
One of the tells of Iranian influence is a large embassy. I know that in the Balkans over these last decades, the embassies there, the Iranian embassies have been 100, 200, even more people, clearly influence peddling and perhaps worse. Is there a large embassy in La Paz?
There is, John, and it's outsized for the kind of role diplomatically or economically that Iran plays inside Bolivia. Formally, Iran has very little to offer Bolivia. They have some agreements on science and tech and culture. They have very minimal trade. Obviously, they have this new defense agreement. But I'll give you this data point that was from about 10 years ago, and then I'll talk about where it is today. About more than 10 years ago, this is actually in 2012, a newspaper from Spain, El País, reported that at that time, this is 2012, Iran had 112, 120 diplomats, quote unquote, inside La Paz. That is crazy. That is a number that's far outsizing most of the embassies that are in Bolivia. And it was bigger than the Spanish, the embassy of Spain inside Bolivia, where Spain has very historic relations with Bolivia. We don't believe that that number persists today, but depending on diplomatic sources that I've spoken to in La Paz, the number hovers between 50, 60. I don't have an exact number of how many Iranian diplomats are there today, but it's north of 50, which is still very large for a country that has minimal to offer in terms of diplomatic and economic relations. So you're right, John. Iran's embassy tends to forecast its level of activity.
Understanding Iran's influence operations in Latin America, we'll go to another capital momentarily, but Ernesto's here to help us understand Brasilia's posture towards Iran since the re-election of Lula da Silva. Ernesto, a very good evening to you. The one event that clearly indicates there's a dialogue conversation is when the Iranian warship called at Rio, I believe. I'm not entirely sure. It might have been another one of the Brazil ports. What do we know about Lula da Silva and Tehran?
Well, John, good evening. Yes, the warships came to Rio. I think they docked in Rio. And they not only stayed there for, refueling, they were there as a sort of military diplomatic mission. There was a party thrown on board. Officials from the foreign ministry were present, the Brazilian foreign ministry, and from the military. So this was a symbol of a new phase of the relationship, which was very close during the previous Lula administrations and during Dilma Rousseff's administration. Back in 2010, Brazil tried to broker a deal together with Turkey to allow Ahmadinejad's Iran to keep its, keep its nuclear program running. So this is back. This is all back in a moment when where Iran is much more active in the world as before, with much more Russian and Chinese backing as well. So this is part of the insertion of Brazil in a totalitarian bloc that Lula is promoting. Specifically about Iran, the warships are probably only the tip of the iceberg. We don't know what's going on under the surface. But remember that Brazil has some nuclear capabilities, not military nuclear capabilities, but Brazil has some nuclear technology that, I don't know, might be useful for Iran, for its peaceful nuclear program. Like, we all know that it's very peaceful there.
Brazil has enormous resources, especially energy resources. That's essential. That's all Iran has to sell except for the gunmen. So is there a lively trade possible here? Brazil's a huge economy, dominates the region. What do they need from Iran?
Yeah, well, the trade excuse is always that Iran has a lot of urea. I don't know how to say that. The fertilizer, right?
Yes, fertilizer.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Brazil needs to import it, although we have other sources of to import urea and don't need to go to Iran. But and Brazil sells a lot of agricultural products to Iran. And during my time as foreign minister, we were totally cold to Iran. But trade kept going. It means that Brazilian exports, I mean, we kept selling food to Iran. There's the myth that if you don't have good political relations, you stop selling agricultural goods to Iran, and it's totally a lie. So the trade is always an excuse to get closer to totalitarian regimes. Just one more small fact, but I think it's indicative of where things are. The Lula's minister for human rights met with only five foreign ambassadors in Brasilia since the beginning of the term. Two of those five meetings were with the Iranian ambassador. Okay, in the area of human rights, we know how human rights are now in Iran. How the death of this poor girl who was beaten to death for not wearing a veil the right way. So this shows something. This shows that Iran is moving freely inside Brazil, and it's not only about trade. That's for sure.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, executive director of the Secure Free Society, a new video cast at YouTube, Understanding Iran's Influence. We're headed to Central America, to Managua of Nicaragua, Darkness Visible. I'm John Bannon.